A reading from Timothy 12 through 17, gratitude for mercy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Luke, the parable of the lost sheep. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and their scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Michael. Sermon this morning is titled, "Going for the One." Going for the One. And to begin with, I think we have to look at a... Let me close this. They're having fun up there. Jesus didn't just tell a parable of lost sheep. Jesus made it his career to pursue the lost sheep. And this sermon, Going for the One, today is for any of you who has ever been the odd one out, the awkward one, the forgotten one, the one isolated and alone. Because obviously, Jesus puts some value on your experiences that maybe the religious establishment does not. Jesus was always going after that one who lived on the edge, who found themselves somewhere no one else was, and brought him into the fold. And if you read our scripture was written by these sorts of people, the people who were fringe, left out, considered crazy or disruptive or mean or just bad. That was Paul to Christians. I mean, he was a devout Pharisee, but he wasn't a good person. Not a good person at all. And yet, Jesus pursued him even after Jesus' death, to bring him into the fold. And the perception that Paul had, that he held, because of his experience as an outsider in the Christian faith, you can see that in the books he writes. He writes to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, don't let them discount you just because you're young. Now, that's the voice of someone who's been discounted. And he writes in Philippians and says, you can do all things through God who strengthens you. And that's the voice of someone who has been down and out and still made it through. Look at Peter, look at James, look at all of the disciples, castaways and rejects, all of them. And yet, those are the people that Jesus focused on to build the faith. Going for the one that's out there somewhere and bringing them in. And why? Well, really think about it. The person who just sits in one place and thinks one thing can be a very good person, but how much experience do they have to share? How much can they identify with the other? Not as much. It's a great thing to be a found sheep. It's a great thing never to be lost. But it's an even better thing, occasionally, to be the odd man out, to be the dissident. A guy named Paul won the Nobel Prize in 2003. His last name was, I hope I get this right, Laubertier, I believe. Paul Laubertier. It's close enough anyway. Paul Laubertier. Nobel Prize winner in 2003. Back in the 1960s, Paul was a scientist, and they were using this machine and technique to determine the chemical makeup of substances. And he spoke up in the 1960s, and he said, hey, what if we pointed this machine at the human body and found cancers? And they all laughed and said, you can't use an MRI on a human body. In the 1960s, he was talking about that. And he stuck with it. His colleagues rejected him for years and years, until finally someone said to the lost sheep out there, way out beyond the pasture, you know, why don't we try it and see what happens? And how many people have had their cancers detected early as a result of that renegade, that lost sheep that was out there that no one would listen to? How about Henry David Thoreau, who refused to pay his poll tax in 1840 because he felt it unjust that he was paying tax to a nation that enslaved people? And he wrote his famous On Civil Disobedience. He's arrested and thrown in jail, and his response was, when innocent people are oppressed, the best place for respectable people is in jail. Martin Luther King listened to him. Mahatma Gandhi listened to him. Nelson Mandela listened to him and were impressed by him. Today he's a hero. Back then he was some kook out by a pond. That lost sheep. You know, I think what it is often this so-called lost sheep is the one that has the best view of what's going on, really, in the world, in the school. And what Jesus is telling us to do is not gather just for our own comfort in a place where we can all think alike and be alike and have a view of the world that is comforting to us and makes us think we're okay. Now, Jesus says, go out there and find those people. Find the ones that have gotten kicked in the teeth. Find the ones that have ideas that others say are crazy. Find the ones that have terrible grades and can't make it in school. Find the ones that just don't fit in. Because that's where you find the prophetic voice. That's where you find the one that can say, you know what's wrong with our school? You know what's wrong with our society? You know what's wrong with our church? Let me tell you the view from the outside. going for the one and leaving the 99 behind. The 99 you know are going to be safe, but they won't be inspired until you bring in that one, until you give that kid who's automatically the one in trouble, who's automatically the one who gets the F, the one who's automatically crazy or stupid or way out there. Until you bring that one in and hear that voice, you don't really know what's going on. And you don't know what heights you could soar to if you just found a way to speak his or her language. This afternoon, right after church actually, Teresa and I will be hopping in the car and speeding as fast as we can over to Rushville for a surprise party for the Reverend Dr. Ed Kennedy, who is the man who baptized me. And when I think pastor, the first face I ever put with the term pastor was Ed Kennedy's face. And I'm going to go over and say a prayer over lunch after they salute him in his congregation. And I'm going to talk about a man who's a lot like some people in this room, people I love and respect. I'm going to talk about a man who delighted in being different and still does delight in being different, who delights in being the one that says something that makes everyone go, whose main objective in life seems to be to get us to think deeper and harder and better. He's a specialist in child development, and he teaches childhood development at FLCC in addition to being a pastor. He baptized me up here, a little squirt that I was, and he told me when he was my mentor through seminary, he told me, "You know, Corey, I remember you when you were a little kid." I can't talk about Ed without lapsing into his voice. And he told me how he remembers he'd come back to Sunday school sometimes, and all the kids would be playing and doing something together, and there you'd be over in the corner, thinking about something, doing something on your own. I was the odd one out. But enough teachers and parents and Sunday school teachers cared enough to leave the group and come and get me, to give me a pretty good life. And enough of you, crazy as you are, care about me to make me your pastor. God, you don't know how foolish that is. Going for the one. We are the one, each and every one of us, I think, in some way. But more than that, we're the 99. All of us in this room. And out there in the world, there's some kid who's crazy, who's nuts, who's stupid, who can never get it right. And our only hope is to go and get them, because they've got something we really need. Jesus told us so, and it is true. Amen.